If you would please join me then, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, reading verses 1 to 11, and we're going to continue in our study on the disciplines of our faith, specifically now in our stewardship. 1 Peter 4, in verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans chose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel is preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let us give thanks for God's words. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that you bring us to your truth. We have lifted up our voices, Lord, and we have praised you in song. And now as we hear your truth, as we understand who we are and you are, we praise you in your word. And so we ask, Lord, that you help us to receive it now. In Christ's name. Amen. So when we talk about stewardship, the question that we need to bring ourselves to is, are we worthy? Are we worthy of what Christ has done for us? Or as we're told in these gifts of grace, are we worthy to receive those gifts? And then once we receive them, then do we live worthy of them? Matthew 10:38 says that, Jesus tells us rather, is that if you do not pick up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. And this is where we look at in stewardship, what we do with what God has given to us. Now, as we speak on this, I'm going to be speaking about our faith, about the spiritual side of the things of our lives, not the physical things, although it will relate to that. But first, it starts with our faith. It starts with the spiritual world that we're promised to, that we're given to. And then it kind of finds its way out on all the other things of our lives. What do you do with the provision that God gives you? What do you do with those who are precious to you that God has created and placed in your life? Whether they're fathers, mothers, children, any of our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors. So as Jesus then calls us to the cross, and he calls us to pick up our cross, he calls us to be worthy. In other words, he calls us to be these good stewards. But as we look at this subject of stewardship, then we have to go over to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 to 12 and just look and see what it is that that Paul the Apostle has to say in support of what the Apostle Peter is saying here. And in chapter 1 and verse 9 to 12 for this reason, since the day we have heard about you. And he's talking about their faith, that he's given thanks to the Colossians of their faith and what's happening in them. He says, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. So as we look at this question of stewardship, and we bring to it then this idea of being worthy for it, Paul and Peter together help us to understand that it's not something that we just receive and just say we have, but rather it is something that we have and we live out. That God saved us, that he brought us to salvation by his will, by his grace, by his love. But the journey's not over. That's just the beginning of the journey. That's how we start our walk in our faith. It's how we start our walk in his grace. And what when he looks at us, what does he see? Are we worthy? Let's start in our verse 1 here that we shared then. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Now, Peter is going to talk about the stewardship of these gifts, of what God has given us. But notice that he starts out here in pointing us back to Jesus Christ. He says, since Christ suffered, since this is what Jesus did, you must have the same attitude. You must be like Jesus. You must walk and face the suffering. You must walk in trust and obedience. You must walk in love and desire to bring this message to the lost. In other words, we're going to serve in the same way that Jesus did. In the same way that Jesus walked the path to the cross, that we will do the same thing. Hence, Jesus saying to us, pick up your cross. He doesn't need help with his cross. He's already carried that for us. And now it is our turn to carry our cross for him. Now, the other thing that together what Peter and Paul help us to understand is that this is a visible thing. That this is something that we should see in our lives. It's not something that we can sit at home and say, well, you know, it's good because I believe. But you see, when we bring that notion out that we say that we believe, it should cause something to happen in our lives, in our hearts, in our very souls. It should be visible on the outside. Now, what Peter relates it to here, and I believe that Paul does too, and in many places in the letters that he wrote, but Peter relates it to the suffering of our sins. That when we have Jesus Christ and we suffer as Jesus in the same attitude as Jesus, he says, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. We are still sinners. That hasn't gone away. That is our nature. But we can battle sin. We can show God that sin is done in our lives. That as we work hard and struggle hard against the battle of our sins, certainly it shows up in our sufferings, but certainly it shows our love and our worthiness, our desire to be right with God. And that as we battle this, then there's only one place that we can look to, and that is Jesus Christ and what he did and what he suffered. And if our life doesn't look like that, then we're not looking in the right place. Or our hearts aren't in the right place. They must be totally dedicated to Christ. They must be totally dedicated to what he has done. And then his call for us to be the same. In verse 2, we find a result. He says, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. So in other words, this is the visible sign. Our obedience, our trust, our desire to serve God and his righteousness, that we impart his righteousness through us, through all those things that follow. But if we suffer as Christ did, then we don't live as the earthly lives live for evil human desire. That's sin. That's sin, and sin and evil, or anything that is against God, anything that steps away from God is evil. It doesn't have to be that you murdered somebody. It doesn't have to be that you've done something awful. but rather just the idea that we would let our hearts and our minds wander away from God. Jesus would teach us that it only takes for what you see to cause you to sin. That's a very high standard, isn't it? It's no wonder we need a perfect God. It's no wonder that we need a perfect example to follow. That as he offers then this to us for our stewardship of our worthiness, that he brings us to understand how we will battle to be in the results of our salvation. You have received it. It has supposedly changed your lives, not only internally, but externally. What you believe yourself to be on the inside should show on the outside, right? Don't we call that honesty? Don't we call that transparency? Don't we call that you know, genuine people are on the same on the inside as they are on the outside? Well, if Christ genuinely lives inside of you, I guess it seems to me maybe just in my simple way of thinking, that it should show on the outside too. That as he transforms us in what he has done for us, and he calls us to this, not only does he have the authority and the right to say these things, but our love for him should place that desire so high in our lives that it would be visible to other people. But in these results, all we need to do is reject evil. All you have to do is reject the evil of the human desire, that you would desire something over God, that you would desire something that God doesn't want you to have. It can be something simple as hatred and anger, something as simple as disrespect, or it can be something very awful. And I'll let your minds decide what that is. But then the other thing that he calls us to do in this results is that we live for the will of God. I mean, that makes sense to me that as we talk about these disciplines of faith, that we would want to know what that will is. What is it that God wants for you? What does he want for me? That as he rescues us and as he saves us and he calls us out of the darkness, he has a purpose for you. Please don't ever let anybody convince you that you have no purpose in life if you have Jesus Christ. You have purpose because you live for a will, and that's the will of God. But it takes you to do that. He saves you, and then you live in him. So, a little further, now you'll see verse 5. We're going to go past verse 5. We're going to go look at verse 6. Because before that, he's given us a lot of examples of sins. These are not all inclusive. So in other words, it could be a bigger list. He just ran out of paper. But in verse 6, he says, "For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who now are dead." There are people walking among us who think they're alive, but they're dead. Now, to be perfectly clear here, this is not an idea of Pastor Ben. This is the Lord your God speaking through his word. And that he says that it was preached even to those who are now dead. Now, our first inclination is to think, well, he preached this to the dead people. But our assumption is that the dead people are the ones who lay 6 foot under. But God doesn't see it that way. He sees all those who are outside of him as the dead. All those who walk in him as the living. Now, for some of you, you're purists in there and you say, well, could it have been the dead people? I suppose so. When God speaks, who doesn't listen? So, for this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body. Okay, stop there again. Another stop for us here. So that when we live in Jesus Christ, we live in God, we walk, and we think about this accountability, the time that we have to deal with our accountability is now. Because we are upright and we are walking. We are sucking in air. And as we continue to exchange that air in our lungs, we are up for accountability. Now, what that indicates to us then is that when the air stops moving in this recycling process, you will stand in front of judgment. Then you will be held accountable. But we have during this time that we are alive, according to the human standards in regard to the body, that all of us are being judged in accountability right now, all of us. That includes the walking dead. That includes those who are alive and walk on the path of Jesus Christ. But we are living to that same standard of accountability. But live according to God in regard to the Spirit. So there's our guide. There's our guide. That what God has directed us, what He has guided us in, what He has commanded us in, is what He calls us to do in the stewardship of our lives. Are you worthy? How will you know if you're worthy? Well, the result is the measure. What you do in your lives is the measure of your worthiness. How you live your lives out for God. How you love Him. What He is to you. All of these things are the measure of our accountability. But as we look at this measure of accountability, you know, and we see what it is that we do, we're not left alone. We're not left alone. This gospel was preached to us for this very reason. This good news was given to us that Christ, He came into the world and then He died, and He died for our sins. And not just for pastors, and not just for the leaders of the church, but for anyone who comes to Him in faith and believes that He died for him. This gospel was preached to us so that we could know how to live. This gospel was preached so that we could know how to be held accountable. This gospel was preached so that we would know that we are going to be held accountable, judged according to the human standards. In other words, judged in relationship to our lives. And I know that as I look in that mirror, I think, wow, I don't know, because, you know, this is, if I look at my life and I think of all the things that have gone on in my life and where Christ came into it and saved me, I wonder sometimes, how could I ever be worthy of what He has done? How could I ever accept freely that He saved me, knowing what I was? Worthless. In rebellion against God, living in the evil desires of humanity. But this gospel came in with the power of our God. This gospel came in with a God who wanted me to know how to live. He wants you to know how to live. And He teaches this to you. He shows it to you. He seals it to you in the death of His Son, our Lord and Savior. This is how bad He wanted you to know. This is how important it is for Him that now you live in trust and obedience in His Word, Jesus Christ, that He would sacrifice the life of His Son so that you could live. My Son for your life. You see, this is the part that I struggle with. Because I look at that life and I'm not sure He got a good deal. I'm sure on this end of it, I probably, you know, kind of took Him a little bit there. But you see, God knows all and He sees all. He looks into our heart and He doesn't look for them to be worthy at the moment that Christ enters you. But rather, you are qualified, that you are made worthy because Christ lives in you. But as we battle against that, as we fight against that, we fight against that with our sins, that is what would be measured against. How well are you doing? So how well are you doing, loved ones? How well are you doing? How goes the battle? I think I'm going to ask you that from now on, and ask, instead of asking you how are you doing today? You know, because that's such a cop-out anyway, isn't it? That's not what I really want to know. How goes the battle? How goes the fight? How are you doing in your measure to be worthy of what God has done? Do you realize that this gift that He has given you, this amazing gift that He has given you first in His Son and the life of His Son, and now in the residuals of the gifts that He gives us through the Holy Spirit? Are you showing yourselves to be worthy of all of that? Are you worthy of the love and the sacrifice that God has made so that you would stand with Him one day? Saved. For all eternity. Well, I'll tell you what. I think we got kind of talked to this morning a little bit about reading our Bibles from young people in our church. And I don't know about y'all, but when our young people come back and they tell us that maybe we're not reading our Bibles enough. Man, I'm always convicted to the heart. You know, and as we look at this, and I ask myself, you know, I observed to myself, you know, that's what's happening when I'm sitting back there, I'm talking, you know, to myself. There's a lot of conversations that are going on up here in my brain. And you know, sometimes they actually mean something. But as I listen to them talk and to speak these things, I say to myself, there's somebody who's walking in Jesus. There's somebody who's speaking a life that has been dedicated to Christ. Someone who knows that they weren't worthy and they're trying to be worthy. That they are battling their sins because it shows in their lives. That they are not afraid to suffer, but rather that what they would rather do is to grab a hold of the suffering right there because they got a God behind them that will conquer that. That will help them through that. Amazing stuff. Amazing witness from what God can do in His people and we can't. If you ever want to know what a faith like looks like, talk to our young people. They're going to tell you honestly what it is they see. They're going to tell you honestly what it is they're living. You may not agree with it, and you know what? Personally, I don't care if you agree with it or not. But you better listen. Because as we listen to these things, this is what we're battling with and for. We're battling to reach the lost. And when we look in the mirror, we realize that we are they. That we were lost. That Christ died on the cross. It wasn't because I made it to church 364 times this year. Was that right? No, that'd be every day, wouldn't it? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still lost in this idea that in Costa Rica, you have church for 2.5 hours. What would it be if we did that every day? It'd be an empty church. But as we look at this and we see what we're up against, what we're dealing with here, we realize that it's not about what we change in this world, but rather it's what has changed in us. And that as we have stewardship of what we have been given to by God to us, the God who created us gives us a gift and He says, do this with that gift. It's not on us to be able to look at Him and say, well, why would anybody ever do that? It's just not worth it. And then God looks back at us and He says, then maybe you're not worthy of it. You see, now you can imagine then, if this is our spiritual nature that we're talking about here, the things of our spiritual life, imagine how that now starts to bleed out into the rest of your life. And how much you start to realize how much it is that you really need God with you to help you to be a good steward. To be worthy. So you see, it's our salvation that qualifies us. It's our salvation that brings us to this moment that we recognize that God is working in us, that we dedicate ourselves to Him, that we say, Lord, help me, save me, and He saves you. He says, you're one of mine, I love you. And I say, but I don't know if I'm worthy of that, God. I don't know why you would ever choose me. Why would you ever pick me up out of the scum that I created? He said, because I am your God, and I love you, and I want you with me. Will you pick up your cross, and will you follow me? That He does this so that we can do that. He does this so that we can know Him, and so that we can grow in Him, so that we can take those first steps that just frighten us so much that we say, I don't know that I can go that far. God says, yes, you can. I'm with you. All the way back in Paul's letter, in Ephesians chapter 2, in verses 8 and 9, he simplifies it for all of us in a way that is, to me, is so amazing that how can we not hang on to this? Paul says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. That's it. God did it. Jesus saved you. He pulled you out of the scum and the muck that you were creating around your lives. And this is not from yourselves, in case you need to be reminded. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You can't save yourself. Only Jesus will. And when he calls down into you, what is there a more precious gift than that? That he looked at us and he said, you don't deserve this. You deserve condemnation. In fact, that's what he said, right? He said, I didn't come here to condemn the world, for it's condemned already. I came here to save it. And he looks into your eyes and he peers into your heart. And he says, will you pick up your cross? Will you own that? Now, I saved this for last, that as we brought ourselves to a conclusion in our stewardship, and our discussion of stewardship, that, you know, normally I start out with a definition and I bore you with that, and then I bring you through the rest of it, you know, so you start out bored. And then I bore you through the middle. Now I'm going to bore you at the end. But honestly, the reason I saved it is because I think that this is how stewardship works. The way stewardship works is that we're saved to Jesus. He provides us salvation. He gives us a gift of life. And then he presents you with other gifts in your life so that you can live out obediently to him. We talked a little bit about gifts, not in depth. But it's ability. It's the ability to carry out your faithfulness in life. That when he hands you those gifts, then he says, this is for you. What will you do with it? What will you do with it? Will you be worthy? And then it amounts into a thing that we call stewardship. Then when it all comes together, we realize that he has asked me to be a good steward of this salvation that he has given me. He has asked me to be a good steward of the gifts that he now gives me so that I can walk faithfully in him. I never walk alone. And whether I thought I deserved it or not, Jesus never asked. He gave it to me. And he said, pick up your cross. And I did. I hope you do too. So stewardship, administration of duties or goods and one's care. The person who administers the household is called a steward and or an overseer. The idea has roots in the institution of slavery. The master appointed a slave to administer his household, which might include the teaching and discipling of the members of the house. Sound familiar? Especially other slaves and the children. Now that's the beginning in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the definition with the interpretation of the words changes just a little bit, but not by much. By metonymy, okay, and we all know what that means, right? Metonymy is just in comparison to or given an image of. Stewardship may refer to God's provision for the Christian age. So in other words, his provision, this when we talk about God's provision, we are given during this time of Christ. The context implying that this plan includes the entrustment of the gospel message to man. The gospel message was given to us to be good stewards of. You see, this is how it brings us into the understanding that first the individual and then the body of believers. That we were first as individuals given this gospel so that we could be saved. We were given it so that we could be good stewards as individuals. And then we walk into the body of Christ. And then we are accountable together. Accountable together as stewards. Stewardship is brought in to include all Christians and all the gracious gifts of God in 1 Peter 4:10. And that is why that is our key verse. And I would also point out, if you noticed it, it also fell into when we had our talk of the gifts. That we talked about our abilities. You see, this is how tight they run together. This is how tight the disciplines of our faith run together. So the requirement of stewards of God as well as stewards of men. Are you ready? Is faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. This is how we are stewards of this precious gift. We are entrusted with the gospel. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the gospel sits squarely in your hands. And he says, what will you do with it? Will you share it? Will you hide it? Will you let it be known? Will you live a life that says, do you see the most precious gift that I've ever been given? It's not me. It's not my body. It's the gospel. Christ died for me so I could live now and forevermore. Be good stewards. Loved ones, this is why our hearts have to be for the lost. You have to cry for them. You have to weep for them. You have to pray for them. Because without Jesus, they will never be entrusted as good stewards of that gospel. We must do all that we can so that they can know Christ. If you don't know Jesus, I call upon you to know him. I encourage you to receive Christ in your heart, to look up to him, to pick up this cross, and he'll explain to you what it all means. But to walk faithfully then. It's a battle. But you are not alone. Christ is with you. And he has put you in the family of stewards who will help you. Father, I just thank you so much for this time with your loved ones. I thank you, Lord, that you continue to remind us of our true responsibility. I ask, Lord, that you forgive us in the times that we have turned away from it, that we have thought that the world had more power than you, that we thought that the world had the better answers, that we thought that the world knew how we should live. But we're reminded, not only by Peter, and not only by Paul, but by the Holy Spirit, that this great gift of our salvation came to us because you loved us. And in our worthiness, Lord, we will show you how much we love you. For you are great in all things, and you are great in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would please.